The WLEW News and Public Affairs Department now presents What Do You Think? Here's your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. Our guest today in the studio is Julie Cray. She's with DJ's Portable Toilets and Septic Service. It's that time of year. Things are starting to flow again in our waterways, and also you need to make sure other things are flowing around your house, and you want to make sure that's done before you have any problems when you have guests over or anything like that, and when it's easier to dig if there is a problem. So we have Julie in here. She's going to talk a little bit about septic system maintenance, and there is a maintenance to it. It's not like city sewers. There's a maintenance that has to be done, or you can end up with problems. So thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Craig.
I guess the first thing I'd ask is that a problem? Do people not realize, you know, it's one of those things in your house that you don't think of until it goes out?
That's right. A lot of times we'll get customers that will call and say, I've gone 20 years and never had an issue. Why am I having an issue now? But today we use all kinds of different products than what we used 20 years ago, and we use different water usage than we did 20 years ago. So every time you're washing your clothes and that bleach water and you're brushing your teeth and that and using that antibacterial soap and antiseptic mouthwash, you're actually killing the healthy organisms that are in your tank, making it digest, and it causes you to have your tank pumped and sometimes even pump more often after that first initial pump.
And it's like the electricity in your house. An older 20-year-old home septic system may be on par with its electrical system and not made for all the stuff we plug in now. We get more usage out of our plumbing systems these days.
That's right. The tank that we used 20 years ago that was acceptable for grandma and grandpa, and now they've moved on to a different household or passed away and sold the house. Now a family of six moves in there, and that same tank doesn't always work as well. And that's because the tank can be smaller. Grandma and grandpa took a bath, you know, maybe once every other day. And you've got a couple of children and they're taking a shower every day, sometimes twice in a day.
And
laundry.
Showers.
Yeah, long showers. And so you're using the water differently than what that system was originally intended for. And so you're right, it doesn't work as well.
Is some of the stuff that we actually use harmful to the biological system within the septic tank? I mean, you use bleach to sterilize stuff, but does it get into your tank and actually kill some of the good germs that you want in there to do the work?
It does. Today, we use, like you said, bleach and all the cleaner products we use. The rule of thumb is the cleaner that your house is, the deader you're making your tank. You're killing off all those healthy organisms. Those organisms in your tank digest the waste in that tank just like your stomach digests your food.
But not in a creepy way.
Right, not in a creepy way. So there are products out there that you can add that will help your tank digest better. There's no proven fact that any of them work or don't work. But we do have some customers that'll tell us they faithfully add something every month, and you can see the difference when they do that. And then you'll have customers that'll call and say, well, my tank stopped working. I need you to pump it. I started adding some product last week. Well, adding it the week before or the week that you're having trouble isn't going to help you. At that point, it's too late. You need to get it pumped and start over again and add it faithfully every month.
So some of these products, they're advertised like some of the yogurts. It's going to get your digestive system working again, and it's supposed to make things flow right. If you like it and it works for you, fine. It may or may not do the job for you, depending on what you're throwing down there otherwise.
That's right. That's right.
Is this something people need to think about when they're expanding a house? You know, the septic system. I know we hear a lot about it along the shoreline. You know, the little cottages have become year-round residences, and then they get kind of torn down and bigger, and they're still going into the same system because it's grandfathered in, and it may not exactly handle four toilets, eight you know, sinks and other things going around the house.
That's right. When you're going to build onto your home, it's always a good thing to go in and possibly talk to the health department, ask them if they would recommend adding on to your field, adding on to the existing field. Also, what you want to keep in mind is as you build on, you don't want to build over top of that field or tank. And
Because it has to dry out so more fluids can leave.
Right. And also you want to make sure that you leave enough room in your yard for a replacement field should you ever need one. Sometimes people will build this big addition on or a garage or breezeway or whatever, and now they've left no extra space if they need to put in a new field someday.
Now, there's all kinds of things happening today in septics. You know, they have grinders and they have other types of systems that can be used. But the septic tank is the tired, true one that everybody seems to fall back on for the most part in our area.
Yeah, in our area, the septic tank is what everybody uses. And from there, it would go into an engineered field or sometimes a dry well. And something that works really well that's come on strong in the last few years is an infiltrator, which they're installed differently, but they're used mainly in the sandy and gravelly areas. Anybody who has heavy clay or black dirt, they would not work well in those areas.
And they're basically, and that's an important thing about your system is what soil's around it. Because sand will drain, clay just sits there.
Yeah, that's the difference in the fields is when you go to the health department and they work with you and tell you how big of a tank you need for the household and how big of a septic field you need, they're doing their ground perk test, which is going to tell you how many lineal feet you need or if you can use a dry well in a sandy area. And that's all based on how it drains. The poorer your drainage, the more feet you need.
That's basically they put a hole in the ground and they test how much water flows out in a certain length of time. That tells how well the soil drains.
That's right.
So they know that if it's just sitting there, that's what's going to happen if you don't have a sufficient field for drainage. It's just going to sit there.
That's right. And so, you know, you want to work closely with that health department. They're a good thing. They're there to help you. They're to help us all keep everything in a sanitary mode. We don't want to have septage that's flowing to the ditches or rivers or lakes because we have beautiful lakes in Michigan and we want to keep them that way.
They also help you with other aspects of the field, making sure it's sufficiently far from your well and things like that can get contaminated or your neighbor's well because you don't need those problems either.
That's right. They have a setback and they'll tell you how many feet it has to be from the well, how many feet it has to be from anything else. And then it also, they'll tell you how many feet you need to be from the ditches and rivers. And
you hope your whole garden doesn't have to go because
yeah.
Because sometimes the engineers say you need a lot more than you probably think you need.
That's right. Our particular place at our home, our drainage is not real well, and basically my whole front yard is septic field. But I need that to maintain the household size that I have.
And you don't have to be just in the country to have a septic tank. You buy a home in a town. I live in Ubley. We have septic tanks because you know, we have village water, but we don't have a municipal waste system. So you have septic tanks behind the house. You need to know that going in. You just didn't get into a village or a town and assume you have city water and sewer.
That's right. There are quite a few communities in the Thumb area that have septic tanks. Like you said, Ubley, parts of Cass City, parts of Bad Axe have septic tanks. So if you're going to purchase a new home, it's always a good idea to ask them if you have city water or a well and if they know where that is. There's also a webpage that you can go to that the state of Michigan has records of some of these. And also you want to ask them, do I have a septic? Do I have city sewer? If I have a septic, where is that septic? When's the last time you had it pumped? What is the maintenance you've done on it? You want to ask all those questions if you're buying a home.
You need to locate the lid.
That's right. And sometimes the health department can help you out on that. In about the year 1972, they started keeping records of where these tanks and systems were put in. Because many years ago, it was thought a septic system was a temporary fix until city sewer came to the Thumb. Well, I don't believe city sewer is ever going to come to the Thumb area. And so the original records they started keeping in 1972 were very sketchy. Today, when they put a new system in and engineer that for you, they come out, they do your approval, they do a very detailed record of where it is. They take measurements. So when you find that lid, we always recommend make a map, take some pictures, put it in a place with all your important papers, like your car titles and deeds and things like that, so you know where it is in the future. And we even have some customers that will write it right on the basement wall, so many feet out from this wall, or on their crawl space wall, so that when they dig that up, they can save money by digging it themselves, and they know exactly where that lid is. They don't have to dig the whole tank top up looking for it.
What my dad did, he got one of those round patio stones, and right in the lawn, he just put it right dead center of where the lid was. He drove over it with the lawnmower all the time. It was just, you need to ask him, what's that there? That's where the septic tank is. If you ever need to use it, get in there. There's where it's at. And it was just a handy thing to always know where it was at.
And that's a very good idea. And today, we always make the recommendation to put a riser on it also, because as I get older, as you get older, as everybody gets older, nobody wants to dig it. And you think, well, it's only 6 inches under the ground, or it's only a foot under the ground, or maybe 2 foot. That doesn't sound like a very big dig. But when it gets dry out in August and the ground's heavy, hard clay, let me tell you, that's a hard, heavy dig. And once you've dug that tank lid up and you've done a maintenance pump on it, you don't have to dig it much bigger and then put your riser in. And they make risers today that you can purchase, bring it right up to the soil surface, or put an inch or two of soil on top of it. And like you say, Craig, put a bird bath on it, put something on it. And now you know exactly where it is. And in the future, nobody has to dig it.
I always thought having it a little bit in the ground, though, was good. Because, I mean, we have frost, and you were here last year and told us that some people actually had their tanks freeze. I don't believe you had quite that problem this year. It didn't start as cold and last as long as it did then, but I would think the closer you are to the top, the closer you are to the cold.
Well, and the riser is only going to create an opening that you don't have to dig. In essence, a riser, a Boughton riser, would look similar to like a plastic field tile with a lid, but they're engineered specifically to be a riser on top of that tank. You're able to fasten it onto the tank. You're able to seal it with tars and glues so that it's water resistant. We like to leave the septic tank lid on. Mm-hmm. So all this is doing is creating an opening that you don't have to dig. And then you can put that lid from the riser an inch or two below this dirt surface, or above if you choose to. And that shouldn't be affected at all by the cold or the frost or anything like that. It's just an access to get to that lid to be able to pump or do any maintenance work.
Now, we were talking a little bit before the show, and you mentioned that frost can move pipes around. You could move that riser up a little bit, but it also can move some of the pipes coming in and out.
That's right. This winter, we didn't have a lot of issues with frozen septic systems or tanks, but what we did have issues with is fields not working properly that did in the past, and we'd come to the home, and we'd pump the tank out, and the first thing we notice is that outlet pipe, which should be level, is pointing up in the air, and obviously the fluid can't get up in the air and out that pipe. So the frost moved that pipe up and down, and the homeowner was going to have to go back and get that pipe leveled out, because there's a good chance as the frost comes out of the ground, it's not going to allow it to come back down. You're going to have to manually do that.
Well, never does it with your sidewalk or anything. It moves it, it's moved, and that's the end of that. So the pipe wouldn't be much different than that.
That's right. And so we do see that from time to time where the pipes move and it does cause issues.
Okay. This time of year, is this a good time to check for problems before we get too far into the season? We have more rains and stuff that, you know, makes the soil more sloppy.
It's a lot easier to dig your tank lid up when the ground is soft. So right now the ground's soft. It's a good time of year. Of course, we do them all summer long. We do them year round, but the worst times would be from December 20th through March 20th. During that time, everything has to go to a water waste treatment plant, so the cost goes up. So you want to train.
The thing people don't understand is this has got to go somewhere approved. Somewhere where the government and EPA and environmental quality in Lansing are happy that it's going there and not elsewhere.
That's right. Our options today in the Thumb area are haul it to a water waste treatment facility, which are numerous miles away, or land apply it on a piece of land. And that piece of land has to be approved by the DEQ. It's inspected annually by the health department. It's also inspected by the DEQ. They have regulations of how many gallons we can put on per acre. We screen everything out of that septic waste and we take it home. So all the things you throw in the septic tank that you shouldn't have to be screened out and taken to the landfill.
You mean those commercials where the kids flushing toilet bowls full of golf balls and other stuff? That isn't good for it?
And that's not good for it. And then we grow a crop on it, which is fed for animal consumption. And we rotate where we do this in this field. We have setbacks from the property line, setbacks from ditches and rivers. And so there's a lot more involvement. You know, you think somebody comes out and pumps your tank and, wow, that was kind of expensive. Well, the pumping the tank part is the fast and easy part. Now it has to go somewhere. And there's more process behind the scenes that you don't see than what you do see at your home. And that's where all the extra cost comes in.
And there's differences between cow manure and human waste as far as the EPA and, you know, the land it's put on, how much your crops you can put on, or kind of crops or anything, because human waste has different characteristics than cattle waste. You cannot grow, you know, corn that you're going to consume with a human being. You know, you might be able to do field corn but you can't do it for humans. There's all kinds of restrictions that go into this that people don't even know about unless you're in business like you.
That's right. And what they're trying to do is remove anything that could be harmful in that waste from the crop. That's why they don't want us to eat it. They want it to go to an animal consumption. And
so it goes through another filter.
Right, it goes through another filter. And, you know, you have to think, anybody who's been sick, I mean, that's all in that waste that's going on the land. So, you know, we're trying to filter that out one more time before it goes to any kind of human consumption.
But these are things you have to, you just can't go to any field and do this. You have to have it set to, you know, so they know what it can and cannot be used for. All these kinds of things fall into play.
That's right. We'll pump out a septic tank for a customer and they'll be like, well, 20 years ago they let us just put it on the farm field out here behind my house. Can't you do that? No, we have to take it home. We have to put it on the piece that's been approved by the DEQ. We have to pay a licensing fee on that, and that licensing fee, like I said, covers the inspections that they do yearly. And they work with us. The health department and the DEQ work with us. And if they see something that they don't like, you know, we try to correct it and come to a compromise or a favorable situation. Or if we see something that we're not sure, you know, what's going on here, they work with us and try and make things so that we keep everybody healthy.
When they ask you that again, you tell them, this is why you don't have kids with three eyebrows.
That's right. That's right.
We take it away.
That's right.
How often should you have your tank done? Is this vary depending on how many people use it? Or if I imagine if you're a snowbird, it might last longer because you're not using it half the time. Is there a formula for this, or do you just err on the side of caution?
The state recommends every 3 to 5 years. They used to say 5 to 7, but again, because of all the different products that we're putting into that tank, it harms it. And the reason there's such a wide range, 3 to 5, it depends how big is the tank, how many people in the household, how do you use your water, what is your drainage like. So your signs that you need to have your tank pumped would be, I flush the toilet and I hear the bathroom sink gurgle. The wash machine water goes and it gurgles.
But that could also be a problem that you don't have proper venting.
True.
I mean,
true.
An older house, that could be the problem as well. I mean, you need to maybe have someone come in and check the plumbing, which might be a little, an inspection might be cheaper than a pump out initially and
right,
maybe having to redo your septic tank.
Yeah, that's very true. And there are times when, you know, the plumbers will come in first and say, no, I don't see anything. If a bird built a nest on top of your vent, it could cause the same problem.
There are birds that can't smell? Well, love methane?
we've found some bird nests on top. We found some squirrel nests. You know, the squirrels like to drop their nuts down your vent on your house if you're by trees. Those pesky squirrels sometimes.
I would think the methane would chase them away. It's rather rank.
You would think so, but apparently the squirrels missed the memo on that one.
Okay. So these things do happen. It's just like a bird can fall down your chimney. They go there to get warm in the winter, and then the carbon monoxide knocks them over, and they're down your chimney.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And the squirrels and that, and birds can get in there too.
Well, and we've even seen where ice, the water comes off your house, the moisture from when snow's melting, and the ice gets into the around your pipe in certain situations, and we've seen where it's actually caused a pipe to split apart.
Wow.
It doesn't happen a lot, you know, maybe once or twice in the last 5 or 10 years, but it can happen.
Okay, so the thing is 3 to 5 years. Signs you might need it earlier, or signs that maybe this year should start your cycle?
If your drains run slow, that's a sign. We have some customers that will call faithfully every 3 to 5 years, whether they have any signs or not. We also have some customers that will call in 3 years and say, you pumped me out 3 years ago. I just purchased the place. I'm not sure if I need to have it done. If I open it up, can you look at it and tell me? Absolutely. We'll look at it and say, yes, it needs to be done, or no, it don't. When you open that tank up, what you're looking for is how thick is that scum layer on top? And more importantly, how thick is the sludge on the bottom? The water that's in between that scum layer and the sludge is just a bonus to make it suck up our pipes better.
So, but the fluid part in between is what actually goes out to your field. The stuff on the top, it just happens to be lighter and congregates to the top, and the sediment on the bottom is heavier than the water, and it stays down there. So, like grease on the top and solid stuff on the bottom, and if it builds up too much, there isn't that sweet spot, for lack of a better term, with a septic tank to get the water out.
Pretty much, you're right. The inlet pipe is about 1 inch higher than your outlet pipe on your tank. And so as everything flows into the tank, it digests like your stomach. As it digests, the solids drop to the bottom of the tank, creating that sludge on the bottom. That never goes away until you pump it. As more liquids and fluids and things from your household flow into the tank, it pushes water out that outlet pipe, and you get a scum layer on top. When that scum layer gets too thick on top and the sludge gets too thick on the bottom, it leaves less room for that liquid coming in. Your scum layer will float up in front of your outlet and it'll shut you off, kind of like a natural seal or a natural valve.
It also limits how much space there is for the actual decomposition part in the middle, which is what you want to go out, so it doesn't give it as long to do its job before it has to go out because there's not as much room.
That's right, and that's what causes your drains to run slower, because as that thickness gets thicker on the bottom, it leaves you less room, and that's when the drains will start to run slow. Geez, I used to be able to open my bathtub drain and it drained out in 2 or 3 minutes. Now it takes 5 or 10. Well, that's probably a sign that you need to have your tank pumped soon.
Okay. Are there things we should avoid putting down? There are all kinds of products that say they're septic safe. Apparently they won't cause it to explode, but do they do harm other ways?
They do. The rule of thumb is, if you don't want to put it in your mouth and eat it, other than human waste or toilet paper, don't flush it. The biggest thing we see today are the wet wipes. We all used them on our children when they were little. Now we use them even sometimes on adults, your elderly parents, or even yourself. They say septic safe. They're not. They say flushable. Well, your t-shirt will flush if I cut it in pieces that size too. Doesn't mean I should flush it. The other things you don't want to put in are things like tampons or female feminine product pads, hemorrhoid pads, condoms, anything like that.
Q-tips. Things like that you're just too lazy to put into the wastebasket and take out later. Out it goes.
Exactly. And
now, am I hurting myself in the wintertime when I have a cold? I flush every Kleenex. I want it out of the house. I don't want to reinfect myself when I'm feeling better, when I empty the cans. This is just my crazy logic. But my notion at that point is, I've blown my nose into this. I'm flushing it out of the house. I'll never get infected by it again.
And I truly can't say that Kleenex will or won't dissolve, because it'd be pretty hard to tell in that tank. You think it's like toilet paper, but some of those Kleenexes are pretty strong, just like those wipes that we see people flush.
And they can have stuff in them, lotions and absolutely, antibiotics and other things that can harm the bacteria that are
and it in. Might not let it deteriorate as easily as if you wouldn't flush those. So I'd be kind of a little bit leery on that, only because the toilet paper is designed to break down in that tank, and I'm not so sure whether Kleenexes would or not.
I use Kleenex. It's a brand name, but, you know.
Right, tissues.
Because, like I say, I worry about reinfecting myself. And,
right.
And I just want them out of the house. I don't want them sitting around all over the place, and I don't want them in a garbage pail that I got to touch and and, you know, touch my face again, and here we go again.
I can see your logic to that, and that's why we always tell everybody with those wipes, you know, if you're using those wipes, throw them in the trash can, and at the end of the day, empty your trash can, you know, take the bag out, put it in a bigger can, and dispose of it, because they're just going to cause you to prematurely call us or somebody else to come and pump your septic tank out. And we don't want to come prematurely and pump your tank out every year or every 3 years. Not that we don't want to see you, but the problem with that is if we had to pump every person in the thumb area that were our customers on a 3-year cycle, we'd never be able to do it. We could take every septic hauler in the thumb and we could never hit every household every 3 years. It would be impossible.
Now, pets. I have a cat. I take it faithfully outside and throw it in the dumpster, but it's clumping and it's clay and it doesn't dissolve. Even if you're just doing the poop, there's stuff clinging on that, and that stuff that's clinging is never going to go away, right?
That's right, and that stuff can cause blockages even in your pipes. If you put that clumping cat litter and cat waste down your toilet and flush it, if there's not enough water pressure from your toilet to push it out into the septic field, you can cause it to lay in your pipe. And now when you put something else in there, whether it's toilet paper, human waste, or even another cat waste, it can cause it to give you a blockage and a plug in your lines and make things
they
back up.
They don't say it's septic safe, but you see it all, and you know a lot of stuff goes down there that was never had the word septic safe on it.
That's so, right.
And it's easier. The box is right here. The toilet's right here, and we're done. I can see it happening. I don't do it. My landlord's be happy about that, but, you know, because they'd have to pump it out, but, you know, I can see it happening.
I'm sure there are people that do that, and even if it doesn't make it out into the tank, of course, any of the kitty litter that would be on that
and I'm not saying
wouldn't
you dump
dissolve.
The whole box in
no,
it,
you're saying you scoop
that
through
sticks
it.
To it, and you know the urine clumps together, and you want to get rid of that. I mean, all of that's not going to deteriorate.
That's right. It's not going to deteriorate. The best thing to do is dispose of it like you should, you know, in the waste container that's going to go to the landfill.
Okay, because. Yeah, I'm sure you have horror stories that you could probably curl our hair with.
I'm sure we could.
you've told us stories before the thing about even finding false teeth and stuff, so it's like, ooh.
Yeah, we can be screening septage out in the field before we put it on our land, and we kind of joke. It's not funny, but it is. Oop, here's somebody's teeth.
But, you know, you have to find humor in your job somehow. I mean, you know, people, you know, it's like MASH on television or whatever. It's almost a relief because of what you're dealing with all the time.
That's right. I used to joke that I could sit on my back patio and look out on the farm field behind me and see all the glow-in-the-dark condoms. I screened them out today, so I had to go get patio lights. That was one of our inside jokes with our business.
Oh, jeez. Oh, okay. I don't know where to go from there. there's a lot of push for water-saving devices. Is this good or bad with a septic system that may need a certain amount of water to actually operate efficiently? Or is that really not a problem with the way we use water today? All of our faucets are now got the little restrictors on them, so you really don't get the flow if you were using a garbage disposal. When my mom used to do it when I was a kid in Madison Heights, that faucet went on and it was like a fire hose. And today it just isn't that way. And there's not enough maybe to push it all out. Does the savings of these water savings things have problems on the other end?
I say yes, they do. I'm sure there's places that it doesn't, but as a septic hauler and a person who pumps the septic tanks, we see times where the customer's tank might be quite a distance from the home. This particular customer goes to the city for the week, so you know they're here on the weekend, they flush their toilet, they leave Monday morning, and they call up a week later, I'm plugged, my line is plugged. Well, what we've determined is the water saver toilet didn't have enough force to push that toilet paper from the home to the tank because it was a long distance. So this particular customer now, before she leaves for the city, will flush her toilet 2 or 3 times to make sure she empties that line out. So
because they didn't have a washer and dryer going all week long, you know, to,
exactly.
to help push the stuff out. They're gone, and it just settles and becomes a rock.
Right. And so, you know, it's kind of six of one, half a dozen of another. We want to save water and conserve on water, but there's times where that savings of the water really hurts us because it doesn't allow us to push everything into that septic tank like it should. And so now the water runs faster than the solids, the toilet paper, or the human waste, and that might lay in the line and there's not another push coming behind it. So it lays there, and now after a week it's laid there and it probably dried up some, and so now when the next person flushes, guess what? We've just created a blockage.
What about things like grease? People, you know, put stuff down the sink. My mom used to always put it into a can and then throw it away. But, I mean, this stuff, unless your water is extremely hot, is going to solidify coating the pipe and eventually, I would think, make the pipe seem smaller.
It can make the pipe seem smaller. Grease is not a good thing to put down your pipes because, you know, you can pour it, if you poured it down your pipes hot, and as it hardens, and it will harden eventually, it can cause an odor from that grease, a rank odor. It also can cause a buildup, which can make things plug up.
Plus, your plastic pipes aren't necessarily made to have scalding, you know, liquefied grease going down.
They're not, and it's not digestible in your tank, so it's not going to
It isn't organic enough to digest. Grease is grease.
No, you'll see the grease floating in the tank, literally floating in the tank. And the other common thing that people do that you really should not do, you should do outside, is I painted my house, so now I washed my brushes out in the sink or the bathtub. That is bad because as you wash that paint off, that paint is now in your pipes heading out to your septic tank, and it can cause blockages. That paint will not disintegrate in your septic tank. It's going to float in there. So the best thing to do when you paint, take those brushes outside, wash them by an outside faucet where it's not going to go into your septic system.
So you've never opened a tank lid and found a Picasso?
No. Not in the sense that you would think.
Not in the paint sense of the
That's
word,
right.
Anyway.
That's right. Okay. So, you know, wash your brushes out outside. Don't wash them out anywhere where it's going to flow into your septic tank. That's hard on it.
Okay. Is it important to you know, stop, like, toilets that run and stuff? Is just too much water not giving it enough time to do its job and it's going to flow out unfully digested? Or how does, you know, because... I hear you got a running toilet. You can waste a whole lot of water really fast.
You can. A running toilet, water running the size of a pencil lead.
Like we had to do to keep the freezing undone.
Yes. Over time, if that were to happen for a long period of time, and you know, sometimes you have to do that. Like you say, there were towns this winter had to do that to keep their water from freezing. But if that were to run into your septic system like that for 6 months or a year, what it'll do is cause your tank not to digest properly. It can even cause your tank to bubble up out of the ground and actually overfill the tank because of that water.
And if it is a municipal system with its septic on there and there may be some, you know, chlorine in it or whatever, that's killing the good bacteria inside.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you're using a municipal system in a city, of course, all that water, you're paying for the water and
yeah.
the sewer, so you'd really want to make it not do that.
But this does add up, and it's all going into that little old tank out there.
That's right.
Are the tanks indestructible? I mean, you think of this big monolithic cement thing. It's underground. I mean, you know, it's not weathering. But I imagine it could weather from the inside because some of that stuff can be caustic.
Most tanks today are made out of cement. There are fiberglass or poly tanks. We have seen some of the cement tanks that have deteriorated, some of them from age because they're really old. Sometimes newer tanks have deteriorated. The thought is that it could be possibly a bad batch of cement, which doesn't happen very often. But also you think all of the medications and the things that our body excrete from medications, that can cause your tank and the gases to be different in it and can cause that tank to deteriorate. And the other thing we've seen is as our lawnmowers get bigger, maybe your tank is only 6 inches under the ground. Certain manufacturers of the tank, the lids aren't as thick as other manufacturers. And we've actually seen some tank lids break from the lawnmowers driving over them. If your tank lid does break, if you know who the manufacturer is of the tank, you can purchase a new lid. And if you tell them, I have a big lawnmower, they'll even put re-rod in that lid. So we've helped a few customers out that way.
But most people don't have the records of where they got the septic tank from. That's kind of a...
But your septic hauler usually can tell by looking at them where they came from. Some manufacturers put one lid in them, some put two. Usually
they fall in, and then you got to get them out from inside, and you know that's the whole
A lot of times your septic pumper though can tell just from the what they see on the tank who the manufacturer is, and a lot of times they can take the measurements and help you out and tell you, you know, who to try to get a new lid. We've been pretty successful with that. We've had probably, in the last 18 years, maybe 5 or 6 customers we've helped get replacement lids.
Okay, because like I say, I am so happy there are people like you who will do this. I mean, you know, we always hear about people, hey, I gotta get my dream job and all this stuff. I don't think anybody dreams about, you know, dealing with the stuff you deal with, but I'm sure glad there are people out there who will handle it and take care of the problems when we need it. Thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. It's a crappy job, you think. It is a rewarding job when you come to the customer's home at 4:30 in the afternoon and tomorrow's the first day of school and mom and the kids are sitting on the porch and they can't take baths because the septic system isn't working and the tank's backed up. And so we pump the tank out and sometimes we have to snake the line going into the house. And here's the kids cheering because they can take their bath to go to the first day of school. You know, you go home that day and you think, wow, what a warm and fuzzy feeling that is.
And hopefully the warm and fuzzy didn't come from what you pumped out.
That's right. That's right. And there's been days we've been pooped on, literally.
Oh, dear. I guess the one thing else I'd mention, you are also portable toilets. Is this the time of year when you get a lot of calls for that? People having big parties and other things. This is one way to help your poor little septic system out by not overloading it with a great big party and, you know, inviting 80 to 100 people over to the house and they all have one little bathroom to go to.
That's right. We do have portable toilets. It is a great idea to get one if you're having a party. We always tell our customers, sometimes even consider locking your house so they got to use the Port-a-John. If you're going to have a party and not get a Port-a-John, highly recommended to have your tank pumped out just prior to the party. We also use the
You don't want to get halfway through the party and then the people are telling you, there's a problem in here.
We've had that happen. We do come out any time of the day or night if you can reach us. Occasionally we do take a night off where we're unreachable, but we've been to halls already for weddings because they've had issues with their septic field during a wedding reception. So, I mean, it does happen.
But planning ahead can
absolutely
do a lot of good for you.
And then we'll have customers that, you know, I'm doing a remodel of my bathroom. We'll take them a Port-a-John. Sometimes they'll even slide it in their garage because they don't want people to see that they're using it, you know, or...
My folks used one when they had an auction, when they were selling their house and moving into a condo and had to get rid of the lot. They didn't want all these people using the house. So if you got to go, here's one outside for
Absolutely.
You.
We have them on contractor sites, pretty much any place you can think of. We even have some farmers that will use them for their immigrant workers that are hoeing the fields, the beans and the beets and things like that. We'll put them on a trailer and they move them from field to field. And every week when I service them, I call them up, hey, what field are we at today? And they give me some directions and I go service them. So I get in my own truck and my husband gets in his and away we go.
I'm so glad there are people like you who will go out there and do this kind of work. Thanks for being with us today. If people have questions, how can they get a hold of you?
They can call us at 989-375-4505. That rings right to a cell phone number, so it's on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And if for any reason you do get the voice message, you need to leave a message. It just means I'm probably out pumping a tank and couldn't get my gloves off.
Yeah, you don't want to put that up next to your face if you don't take the gloves off.
Absolutely.
Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Craig.
Our guest today on the program has been Julie Cray with DJ's Portable Toilets and Septic Service. Again, if you have questions, contact them. They can tell you about getting your tank pumped, warning signs that you need it done, and maybe some tips on how to extend the life of your tanks and your field because they can't get to everybody. I do want you to stay tuned. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news.